Okay, good morning, everybody. Today is the 17th of Elul, corresponding to the 20th day of September. We are definitely approaching Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks from this second will be Rosh Hashanah, so there you go. Second day on Tef Friday. I don't think we'll be at Shofar, not at 9:15 in the morning, but we'll definitely be in the throngs of Shacharis. Here we go. What I want to talk about today on page, the bottom of 490 and 491, is other reasons why we recite a Oseh Maaseh Bereishit and other type of natural events that take place. So take a look at this, source 11, Al HaZikim, which I'm not sure what Zikim are, so it's a good thing that it's explained. Hu Kimin Kochav, it's a star, Hayorei Kecheitz, that shoots out like a bow and an arrow, V'orach HaShemayim, across the sky. Mimakom l'makom, from place to place. V'nimshach aro keshevet, and it has a tail like a light. How do we call that in English?
Shooting star.
Okay, so this is a shooting star, this is a comet. Is there a difference between the two?
Alright, it is a comet. I took a course last year.
And?
It's like, there's like...
What's the difference between a shooting star and a comet?
But comets have like an icy trail.
Can you explain to the world what a comet is?
But I'm an asteroid.
An asteroid?
Asteroids are all.
Is a comet? A comet is light, or is comet a mass substance? It's a mass substance,
yeah.
No?
So for the definition.
But it has like a tail.
Yeah, it has a tail? Okay. So, exactly. You'll see why it's not necessarily going to matter. Because Mr. Burr is going to say, either way, it's going to be a Oseh Maaseh Bereishit. Okay, well, we'll get back to you. And Ra'adat Ha'aretz, which I think we call an earthquake. Va'al Habarakim and Ramim, so this we've seen already. This is lightning and thunder. Ruchot Shinishbu Bezaaf. So the question is, these are called strong winds. Now, what exactly is the difference of the strong wind and a you know, how many kilometers an hour is defined as a strong wind versus a regular wind? So, it appears to be unclear, but I guess whatever normal is, what's this picture here?
The definition
of a?
Comet.
Meteor showers occur when dust or particles from asteroids or comets enter Earth's atmosphere at very high speed. When they hit the atmosphere, meteors rub against air particles and create friction, heating the meteors. The heat vaporizes most meteors, creating what we call shooting stars. So a comet creates a shooting star, right? Or can create a shooting star.
You also probably can't see the meteors above the atmosphere. The comet, can't see the comet.
You are not going to be able to see a comet.
You can see a shooting star around a comet.
Shooting star, for sure you can see a comet. You're not going to see too dark.
It's above the atmosphere also, no? As it entered the atmosphere,
it's a star. Well, also you're not going to, it's too dark. I'm going to see a, right? It, meaning, I guess if you had special high power, whatever, you can maybe see it. But basically, we only see shooting stars. Here, a meteor that burns up as it passes through Earth's atmosphere is known as a meteor. If you see a streak of light or a shooting star, you're actually seeing as a meteor. Whoa, hold on, we got to redo our word. That's not true. It says here that if you actually... Because a shooting star is a solid rock from space that bounces off Earth's atmosphere, creating the streak. It bounces off. A comet is mainly composed of ice and normally orbits the sun. A tall comet always points away from the sun. I'm still not. Comets of medium sizes and bodies in orbit around the sun, lumps of ice, they warm up. A comet is that. Where's the shooting star? So what's the shooting star? How do I go back here?
Bottom right. Maybe left.
It's not working.
No, like this. Bottom right. Back like this.
Oh, I see. Nice.
Thank the shul for the sponsorship of the Wi-Fi.
Yes, yes.
You got the password?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Why do they keep a secret, though?
It's not a secret.
It's not?
Here. Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Most meteors become visible at around 60, about 100 kilometers up. Some large meteors splatter, causing a brighter flash called a fireball. So I guess the difference is when you have meteor showers, it's about dust particles in Earth's atmosphere. Hit the atmosphere, they can rub against particles, and then they can create things. Now, like a shooting star.
A shooting star is more visible.
Right. Most meteors are very small, tiny. Larger ones, if there's atmosphere, and their meteors are pretty rare. And they don't really reach Earth's surface so often. Okay. They explode. Yeah, so a lot of meteors are chunk, whereas a shooting star. Shooting star, it goes across the sky, whereas a meteor is coming down. I think that's the simplest for it. Okay, there you go. So either way, another one of these appears, we say a osa maseh breshit. You're going to have to be certain that's not like a plane, right? Like sometimes a plane could appear to have like a tail on it too. So you got to make sure it's not a plane. You got to make sure it's not a bird or I don't know, whatever it is. So you got to be careful. Now, the wind. Go back to our wind question. What exactly is considered a strong wind that you make a osa maseh breshit on? What type of hurricane wind would you need to have? So it has to be very, it can't be something that occurs regularly. It has to be something which is considered out of the ordinary.
That's what happens in Miami. It's Miami, like during the season, it happens pretty often.
Happens fairly often. So it could be, meaning, it could be just like a, I don't know again, what exactly, according to the astronomers, or according to the astrological people out there, what do they consider a, you know, what's considered a strong wind?
If they give it a
100 kilometers an hour?
If they give it a name.
They give it a name for sure, right. They give it a name, and that's a given that it's considered a hurricane, right? Or a tornado, whatever it is. So, but you have to be in it. You have to see and experience. So you can't just hear about it on the radio and make a bracha.
What if you create strong wind?
So very good. It has to be natural. Very good. Artificial things that you create are not going to make a bracha on. So, by the way, same idea. If you detonate the ground, it's like an earthquake. Well, that's not an earthquake. Because Osama said Breshit has to exist in the time of Briyat Olam and those things, you know. So, good question. Anyways, kol echa b'menu, you say Osama said Breshit. Im yirtzeh, you could say Shekacho Gvura Tomad Olam. The Mishnah Berurah writes, and this is what he says in the beginning, if you seek this chetz, this arrow. V'yishra Mishu kochav sheishlo zanav v'shevet shal ora. Again, other hold that it's a star, meaning this, I think he's referring to the shooting star. That has a tail to it. And both of them are in fact the halacha. So either one of these you make a bracha on. However, if you see this exact same star another night, you don't have to say the bracha again because you're still within 30 days. So these type of phenomena you can only recite over 30 days. Yes.
What about lightning?
Okay, so lightning, interesting. Very interesting. Lightning appears to be any storm,
right,
as we saw last time. Where is a, as we'll see, a sea, an ocean, an earthquake, any one of those things, it's about 30 days. Yeah, isn't that interesting? As opposed to... Yeah. Most of lightning and thunder are storm dependent.
But if you see the sea every day, you don't say it after 30 days.
Right, right. Meaning, right. If you haven't seen it in 30 days. Right.
This is the same concept as the Kotel.
So, yes, so somebody does a kotel, that's the way 30 days, and you don't tear kriya. Right. It has to have this newness to it, right? So if you live on the Mediterranean coast, if you live on the... That's cool, what do you have there?
I thought brachas? It would be like the brachas of the...
For sure it's on there. That's pretty cool. For sure it's there.
Cool.
Yeah, I gave it at Yeshiva.
Can we trade?
Pretty cool. Okay, you can continue.
No way, that's neat. Okay, fine. I want to show you also two things. Oh, what about thunder that's caused because of heat? This is actually very interesting. He says that you don't make a bracha on it. It has to come from a storm. I don't really know.
If it's very humid,
it also creates a thunder. He says that, says Mishnah Berurah, would not count. He says, below, they don't cause lightning. It's not the same barak as we mentioned in the Gemara. You don't make a bracha on it. So again, it has to be, and this is what Mishnah Berurah says on the strong winds, it has to be very strong. He said it has to be stormy, in fact, in order to make such a bracha. And we're not so, shall we say, he says, ain't under bekiyim. We're not exactly so bucky what a zeof is, so we're considered a very powerful wind. So you'd have to really, really make sure it's a, you know, defined by the local science people. It's really, really not like, you know, there are strong winds today. That would not be sufficient. It has to be much more stormy. Two more things before we end. I want to show you in Zot HaBracha in 13. He also highlights the 30 day thing. Here we go. Hanoseh Maratzot Debrid. Do you see there right up by the top? Hanoseh Maratzot Debrid Leretz Yisrael. So you're traveling from America to Israel. If you see Retchila et Ha'ukinus, which is the? The Atlantic Ocean. Right? You see the Atlantic Ocean, right? Atlantic. Oh, there you go. Atlantic. Mevarach shehasah et hayam hagadol. Then, v'chshireh achar kach et hayam hatichon, which is the Mediterranean Sea, which is obviously many hours later, right? Mevarach asem asem reshid.
If you see a different one.
Again, we see here, let's actually finish. So you're heading now west. It appears that it's not, and this is it's a little bit counterintuitive. You think it's on the body of water, but it appears it's on the idea of bodies of water. So once you make a bracha on a body of water, it almost poters you on any other type of body of water. It's not, shall we say, you know, you're going from, I guess if you're traveling from, you're going the wrong way. If you're going from Europe or Israel and you're heading west and you pass both the Atlantic and you pass the Pacific. Right. Like Vancouver to Australia. You pass the Indian Sea though.
That's the Indian Ocean.
Right, right. You're not going to.
You all three.
You do?
How Atlantic?
No, not Atlantic. Right, the Atlantic's on the wrong side. Yeah.
On the way back. Either way, you're passing two though.
Right, you'll pass two. You should look around the world, right? Yeah, around the world in ideas. Exactly. Exactly. So, That's interesting thing you mentioned here.
So the actual.
Sure. So, okay, well, let's end there for today because we're digressing. But interesting how it's not. You would think it's coming, and again, this took me actually by storm. Uh-huh. You get it? I had to like what? Really? I thought it was also on the a body of water. So I see another body of water, another bracha. That's not the case.
So
it appears it's the. So. Okay, let's end there for today.
This may not be true, but like when you're higher up in the air, it's usually stronger winds, correct?
Oh, that's interesting.
So you're right, taking a plane.
But that's still considered normal winds for up there.
Okay, fine.
Right, and it is natural. No, the higher winds, it's not natural.
It is natural.
Right, it's natural. Right, but it has to.
Definitely stronger.
I don't think a regular plane will be. They can't go through hurricanes or tornadoes, right?
No.
It's like super dangerous.
When they're nothing.
Right. Yeah.
I just know. Yeah. Higher up.
Right, higher up you are, there are stronger winds, but I don't believe you make a bracha on that.
How many home runs
Okay, have a good day.